Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But as always, on Wednesdays at 4:30, we are very happy to be joined by our MVP, our All-Pro. He is also with CBS Sports. This week, he is on the call for the Broncos and the Chargers. We welcome Rich Gannon onto the show. Rich, always good talking football with you.
Trenty, great to be with you, brother. Looking forward to it.
So let's start here. Le'Veon Bell, last week we had a conversation these last couple of weeks about how much we thought Le'Veon Bell had left in the tank. I came out really encouraged by what I saw from him Sunday against the Broncos.
Yeah, I did too. And look, you know, he's got fresh legs. I thought it was interesting. I knew it was coming when I went back and watched it. When he put him out there the first time, I just said to myself, here comes the play action pass. I just know it. Andy Reid so well, and of course they hit on it. But you know, he commands a lot of attention, a lot of respect because of his abilities. And, you know, the first run, the 17-yard gallop, I mean, he's just gliding along. I mean, he's got such a smooth gait to him. You know, he reminds me a little bit of a different body type, but he reminds me a little bit of Eric Dickerson back in the day. When he gets rolling, he just doesn't, it's effortless, you know, and it just seems, he's such a smooth runner. He's got natural cutting ability and vision, and he sees the field so well. He's really good in the passing game. I mean, you go back to his days in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. He catches a lot of balls. And I think he's going to be a great addition to what they already have with Edwards-Helaire. But, you know, the problem that they had the other day was, you know, they only had 51 snaps. You know, that's the problem. You know, time possession was a huge story in that game. I mean, I know the Chiefs got control of it early, but, you know, just 26 minutes of possession time, just the 51 plays, and you know, you're not going to get it done there. And, of course, you know, a lot had to do with their inability to convert a third down and of course, the sacks and the turnover. They've got a lot to clean up. You know, I think it says a lot about how good a team they are. Even when they're not entirely healthy up front and they're not firing in all cylinders offensively, they're still able to go on the road in a division and get a win.
Rich, you mentioned that this team has some things to clean up. If you had to say what's the biggest things the Chiefs have to improve upon, what would your answer be?
I think continuity along the front would help. I mean, there was some communication breakdowns. I mean, you know, you look at the sacks a couple times, you had guys running clean without, you know, even, you know, a body assigned to them. Again, there's certain times where you're going to be one short in a protection scheme. But I know one time I watched Mahomes throw the ball hot to Edwards-Helaire. He didn't have his head around. He wasn't even looking for it. He wasn't even anticipating it. So there's some things as you study it week in and week out that you know, you can tell they're not playing as well as they have in the past. I think a lot of it has to do with the protections, and that's not all on the offensive line. Some of it has to do with the backs involved in the protection scheme. Some of it has to do with Patrick Mahomes, just in terms of communicating, redirecting the line, you know, audibling, you know, getting out of a bad play into a better one. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around. But they've got some things to clean up. I think it starts with playing a little bit better up front.
This is a situation that you found yourself in, and this is being billed as a revenge game for Le'Veon Bell with everything that's happened with him and the Jets over the last 3 weeks. What's your mentality if you're a player like Le'Veon Bell going against your former team?
I don't think it's going to be that huge of an issue because I think he's got so much on his plate, just learning this new system, trying to get comfortable, you know, just trying to fit in and just, you know, really trying to make an impact. I know this game's important to him. I know he wants to, you know, be that guy again like he was in Pittsburgh. I think what he went through with the Jets, I think it has humbled him. You know, I think that was a very difficult, you know, he had the long holdout, didn't play well last year, this year, you know, not so good either. And again, it's in fairness, I'd say so much of what happens at that position is impacted by what's going on around. The offensive line hasn't been very good there. They've had, you know, challenges with trying to develop a young quarterback, play calling, all that. And, you know, he just never really felt, I never really felt like they had anyone around him. I just remember doing some of the games last year. It was just tackle the back, and that's all you got to do. You're not worried about anybody else. Jamison Crowder, who's not even healthy right now, but he's really their best weapon in the passing game. They don't get a lot of production out of the tight end position. So I think in fairness to the back, Le'Veon Bell, he they get 8-9 guys around the line of scrimmage every play and just not let him, you know, not let him be a difference maker. And that's too hard. That's too hard on any back.
Right now we're talking to Rich Gannon. He is with CBS Sports. He is on the call for Broncos and Chargers. We're talking a little Kansas City Chiefs football right now. What would you say this offense could potentially do to open things up for Tyreek Hill? Because he's one of the fastest players in the NFL. He's used to those explosive big plays, and defenses have sort of taken it away. What would you do if you're reading Mahomes to open that back up for Hill?
I think you have to keep moving him around in formations. I think you got to hide him. You got to get him into some bunch sets, some stack releases, help him get off the press. And also, I think, move him around so that he's not necessarily outside the numbers all the time. You got him inside. You got to motion him. He's running all those crossing routes, which he's so good at. You know, he caught 6 balls in the game for 55 yards, had a touchdown, but they're modest numbers for a player like that. Now, in fairness, he commands a lot of attention, and I think teams really go out of their way to address number 10 and number 87. I mean, you look at it, and that's all they talk about during the week. We visit with these defensive coordinators, and they say, hey, look, you're not going to let the Kelce, the tight end, we're not going to let him be a factor in the red zone. We're not going to let him be a factor in the middle of the field. We're going to do everything we can to double him. And then you're doing the same thing with Tyreek Hill at times. You're rotating coverage. You're cutting coverage. You're getting a flat defender to run back up underneath the out and in breaking routes. You're doing everything you can help the corners. And I think I think you've got to find ways to get some of your best players more touches. And I know Andy Reid is so with his scheme and some of the things that they try and do. But at some point, and you're Patrick Mahomes, you can't force the issue. This is a week that you cannot force the issue. Unlike other teams, and the Jets play a lot of too deep zone coverage, and it's going to really force Patrick Mahomes to be patient, to work the ball underneath. It's going to be a catch and run type of game. And it's not they don't play a lot of man to man coverage. So that's going to be a challenge, I think, for the quarterback just to exercise some patience. There's not going to be a lot of shots down the field, big 30, 40, 50-yard shots against this Jets defense. They've got challenges. They've got issues, the Jets do, but they do a pretty good job of keeping things in front of them.
So speaking of the New York Jets, not many people watched last week's game between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, but it was something you kind of kept an eye on because the Jets kept it closer than a lot of people had anticipated. Why was that game so close? And looking at this week, do you think that's something that the Jets could potentially replicate against Kansas City?
Well, they're desperate for a win, right? They're a winless team. They're playing within the division against the Bills. They've got some history there, some familiarity. And they got off to a good start, something they haven't done all year. I mean, the quarterback came out, Sam Darnold. He had missed the last couple of games with a shoulder injury. He looked sharp early. They hit on a couple plays. Defensively, they did a nice job getting off the field on third down. They forced a red zone turnover. In fact, they held the Bills. The Bills didn't punt in the game, and they settled for 8 field goals. I think that's what happened in that game. So, and still found a way to win the game. So, they did a nice job, I think, once they crossed midfield. The Jets did to really, kind of stymie the Bills. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. They play a lot of zone coverage. They try and keep, bend but don't break type of philosophy. But at the end of the day, I mean, they just don't have the horses. They just don't have the personnel right now. They're not very good on offense. They have a difficult time running the ball. The offensive line's not very good. The quarterback's been very inconsistent. If the Chiefs do what they do, this game's going to be close.
You were calling the Broncos and the Chargers game. Let's talk about those two quarterbacks in that game respectively, because we just saw Drew Lock go against the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs face Herbert in his first start this year. Let's start with Herbert. I think he has a chance to be a star. He's a much better quarterback than I thought he was going to be this early in his career. I really like how athletic he is. He's a big, tall guy, strong guy, can make a lot of the plays on the field. He has it. Like, you can describe it as a former quarterback, but when I watch Justin Herbert for the Chargers, he just seems to have it.
He does. He's impressive. I mean, first and foremost, he's really a smart guy. You know, if you go back and study him, I think he was a biology major in college. His brother is a med student at Columbia. You know, the kid's smart. I mean, he's got some real, he's got a high football IQ. I think it comes, you know, he works at it, but he's a quick learner. He doesn't look or play or act like a rookie. And he's made good decisions for the most part. You know, they haven't won a lot of games with him playing. He got his first win last week, but they've been in a lot of games. He throws for 300 yards every week. You know, Keenan Allen's a big, obviously a big factor, but he's got very strong arm. He's got, you know, he doesn't throw the ball as well in the move like Patrick Mahomes does, but he's got a real good arm. He can throw it way down the field. Good mobility for a bigger quarterback. He's 6'6", he's 235 pounds, and he can move, and he will run with the ball. On third down, down in the red zone, they even have a couple designed runs for him. A little bit like Josh Allen of the Bills that way. And, you know, I just think he gets better each week. I think he's going to be a really good one. I think Joe Burrow is going to be a good one. They have some of the same qualities and characters that you like at that position. But he's been very, very impressive.
So you talk about how much you like Burrow. You also talk about how much you like Justin Herbert. Where are you at on Drew Lock? Because on the flip side, I just haven't seen it from Lock. That I understand his situation is not ideal, but with Herbert, you're seeing that spark. With Burrow, you're seeing that spark. I don't really see it with Drew Lock. I think his ceiling is relatively low. Where do you stand on the Broncos' second-year quarterback?
I think the jury's still out on him, Carrington. I would agree. I think he's got a lot of ground to make up on some of these other young quarterbacks. Turnovers continue to be a problem. He turned it over twice last week, as you know, against the Chiefs. Turned it over twice the week before to win over the Patriots. If you really study him going back to his days at Missouri, and I know a lot of Chief fans are familiar with him, you know, he didn't have a great offensive line, spent a lot of time in the shotgun, but he also had some problems turning the football over to get straightened out. And in fairness, you know, without, you know, that he played some games this year without Lindsey, they've had some significant injuries. Cortland Sutton hasn't played since week two against the Steelers. So they've got some real issues that they've got to work out. The offensive line's not great, but he's got to play better. And I think a lot of it has to do with the decision-making and footwork. There are two areas of his game when you really study Drew Lock that he can get better, that he has to get cleaned up.
The big game in the AFC and the NFL this week is the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Baltimore Ravens. Where do you stand on both of those teams, and which team do you have winning that matchup?
This is going to be a great one, and anytime these two teams get together, you know, you can expect a lot of fireworks. The quarterbacks are a big story. Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit greedy last week, threw three interceptions in the win over the Titans, but he's got a great defense in his hip pocket. They're able to run the football. They've got some real playmakers at the wide receiver position. I just like how they're playing right now. They're undefeated for a reason. They're a good team. If Ben will just stay in his lane and not get careless with the football. On the other side of it, another team that's got a really good defense. They really can confuse you and get after you on third down. It's really where they thrive and make a lot of their big plays. It's a defense that is really built on, you know, affecting the quarterback and taking the ball away. And they do as good a job of that as any team in football. And of course, when you get on the other side of it with the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, I mean, you know, Carrington, you've watched him. I mean, he's just unusual. I guess that's the best way to describe him. He's got rare skill and talent at that position. When you look at his athleticism, his ability to improvise and escape and create and extend plays. Not the most accurate guy throwing the ball from the pocket, but they try and mask and they try and cover that up as much as they can with their scheme. And, of course, in the kicking game, maybe one of the better special teams units in football. They've got probably the best kicker in the game. They've got a great punter. They've got a head coach that used to be a special teams coordinator. They spent a lot of their time in that department. And this will be a great game. This is going to be a tough one to call when you look at the Steelers and the Ravens when they get together.
I think most people would put both of those teams in the category of Super Bowl contenders. You obviously would put Kansas City in that category as well. What other teams would you say through the first 7 weeks of the season heading into week 8 that you would consider to be legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Oh, man. Let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that, you know, you look at how well Brady has played the last couple of weeks. You look at that defense. Former Chief Tom Bowles has done a great job with that group. And I just think that, you know, Brady is just, he looks like he's throwing the ball as well as he did 10 years ago. So I like the Buccaneers over there. I don't know how good the Packers are defensively. The Seattle Seahawks, I think, are the best team in the West, although I think the Cardinals are closing some ground on them. But, you know, the Russell Wilson right now is playing like an NFL MVP. I don't think there's anyone in the NFC East or anything that you have to worry about. But you look at the AFC, I don't think anyone in the AFC East is going to, you know, create any issues for the Chiefs. I think you look at those two teams, Steelers and Ravens, in the North. In the South, it's the Titans, but, you know, they had their issues with the Steelers last week. But don't count out the Titans, and the Chiefs are very familiar with the Tennessee Titans. This is a team that I think has taken on the personality of their head coach. You know Mike Vrabel's a tough, disciplined player, and I think he's kind of built that team that way. There's no give up in that group. You know, they've been behind in a lot of games. But since Ryan Tannehill took over week 7 a season ago, this has been one of the more competitive teams in football. I'm not so sure they're good enough yet defensively, but with that running back and the way the quarterback's playing, they're a tough out.
That is our quarterback. That is our MVP and our All-Pro. He is also on the call for CBS Sports this weekend for Broncos and Chargers. Always good to talk football with Rich Gannon. Rich, really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, brother.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.